Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms this morning. Psalm 92. Somebody prayed about not being anxious. And I thought about how, hi, Bill, you snuck in. I had my eyes closed. Nice to see you. I thought about that and how important it is for us to have God's peace. And it's, you know, it's available to us. And we train our minds not to be anxious, not to be distracted from the truth of God's word. And the more we do that, the more peace we get in our lives. We drove home Friday night, from North Carolina, and we left, and it was 75 and nice. And then we got to Virginia. We hit a rainstorm, and it rained all the way home. And my wife was tense. To say the least. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I haven't driven that amount of time or that distance in a long, long time. When I was young, I would do it all the time. I remember when I was in the Corps, we drove 24 hours straight from Emporia to New York through snowstorms and everything else. But I haven't done that in years because I haven't had to, and nor do I have the desire to for the most part. But I drove through the rainstorms, and I was pretty confident, and God energized me, and I was peaceful the whole way. And, you know, it's easy to get tense when you're driving, you know, especially in bad weather. But for the most part...
And around Washington.
Yeah, especially around Washington. Although around Washington, it was a lot of traffic, so it wasn't, you know, the rain wasn't such a problem. It was the traffic. You know, it was really great to be peaceful like that and to be able to do that. Anyway, let's go to Psalm 92. And what caught my attention is actually the first verse, but we're going to read through the psalm. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It's a good thing. You know, we always want to do good, right? Well, it's a good thing to be thankful and to praise God. It's a good thing. You know, that's pretty simple, isn't it? "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." Not my hands, but thy hands. You know, sometimes we triumph in the work of our hands, but that's not what it says. We're to triumph in the works of God's hands. And we should recognize God in everything we do. "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." And, you know, I first got in the Word and you know, I learned some things and I thought, wow, this is great. But as I go on in life, well, the longer I'm in the Word and the longer I study God's Word, the more I read it, the more I realize I don't know so much. But the things that I know, I more and more see the great depth in them and the great truth in them more than I ever did before. "So his thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." I don't know if that's comforting or not, but it's, to me it is, you know, all these wacky people and nutty people, they're going to be gone forever. They're going to pay the price. You know, sometimes in life, it doesn't seem like there's any justice or anything. I mean, life is not fair, right? If it was fair, we would all be geniuses. We would all have perfect bodies. We would all have great talents in art and athletics and music and everything else. Not fair. We all are different, right? It's not fair. Some people have more opportunities than others. Some people are born in countries that are free like us, and some people are born in hell holes where they don't have a chance, maybe, except if they have something in their heart to seek God. So, anyway, it says, you know, these people are going to die forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. We know there's no such thing as a unicorn. It really is a word. It's a bad translation. It's an ox. But anyway. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall see my desire on mine enemies. Mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. You know, and we're righteous, aren't we? When we're born again, we're righteous. We will flourish. We will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Those that are that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, this is a psalm. I think it's written by David. It doesn't say, but you know, it's we're God's habitation. We get together. We're the temple of God. And it says that these that are planted in the house of God, of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. In other words, we can have productive, full lives for our whole life. You know, it's amazing how in the world people get beat down and you know, they wear out at an early age. And they just, you know, they get old quicker than they need to. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's go to Psalm 147. It's kind of towards the end of Psalms. And we're going to start in verse 1 again. And again, it tells us something that is good. We saw before that it was good to be thankful and sing praises unto God. Here it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. And praise is comely. So again, it's good. It's good to thank God. It's good to praise God. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. So, you know, it's talking about Israel. But God, the things about God never change, right? And it's, even though this is Psalms, it is still good to be thankful. It's still good to praise him. And then it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And we know that God does that for us too. He heals the broken heart. He binds up our wounds if we allow him to. You know, it's just not automatic, but we have to turn to him. We have to allow him to heal our broken hearts. We have to allow him to bind up our wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. I've thought about this before, you know, and how many billions and billions and hundreds of trillions of stars are there?
They don't know.
Yeah, they have no clue. Because they can't see the end of the universe. And he has names for all of them. How does he do that? You'd think he'd run out of names. It's like George Foreman. He has 9 sons or 10 sons. They're all named George. He couldn't get past one name. Oh, well. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You know, sometimes we think, kids especially, you don't understand, right? But we do understand if we're older, usually, because we've gone through the same stuff. Well, God understands, right? He always understands what we're going through. He always understands what we need. He always understands what we need to hear. He understands. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, that respect him, in those that hope in his mercy. Wow, that's what God takes pleasure in. He takes pleasure in them that respect him, that revere him, that look to him and love him. And those that hope in his mercy, his desire to help us. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. How about that? Let's go to Psalm 73. So sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. It is good to give him praise. Psalm 73. Sometimes Psalms is really a lot of fun to read through. We're going to start in verse 23 this time. It says, nevertheless, if you want to read the context, the psalmist, Asaph, saying how stupid he was. And then he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee, speaking about God. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. You know, there are certain peoples that pray to everything and anything in heaven but God. Right? Here the psalmist says, there's nobody in heaven but thee. So that's something to think about. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Now, we do have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. That's kind of great, you know. But that wasn't available for this guy because Jesus Christ had not come yet. So, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, we just have to learn and, you know, continually remember that we have to rely on God, not on ourselves, that we look to him, and he's the strength of our heart. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, which means, you know, they're turning to other gods and idolatry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. It is good. You know, it's good to be thankful. It's good to praise God. It's good to sing his praises. It's good to draw near to God. It's a good thing to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. You know, even when we get stupid and we don't go draw near to God when we're, you know, off the wall somewhere, when we realize it and we come back to him, he's there with open arms, ready to take us back and love us up and heal all our hurts and whatever else we need. Okay, Lamentations. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, which is a short book, and chapter 3. So here's two goods. Chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." So God is good to those that wait for him and seek him. Then it says in verse 26, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." It is good that we, you know, depend on God, that we're patient and wait quietly for his salvation. And you know what that means? It means when you're confronted with something or you need help or you need deliverance, you're not, "Oh God, please help me, help me, help me, oh, I'm going crazy." Be quiet and patient and confident in God and see what he promises come to pass. Pretty cool. Let's go to Micah. It's right after you find Jonah. It's right after Jonah. Right before Nahum. You know, one of those places you go to a lot. Okay, chapter 6 of Micah. This is really a great little record here because it just shows the what we're like as people and how God is. And although this is written to Israel, it's a pretty interesting record to read. It says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith." So pay attention. "Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice." So if we read on, it's God having a controversy or a discussion or a disagreement with Israel. That's what controversy means here. And when he talks about the hills and the mountains, you know, in biblical times, they would say, you know, "I say this before the hills," or "I say this before the sky." It's they're a witness, right? That reminds them of what's going on. They see the hill. They said, "The hill is my witness. I swear," you know, or something like that. So he says, "Hear ye, O mountains," the Lord's controversy, his disagreement, his contention, "and ye strong foundation of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel." Now, isn't that wild that God would, you know, Israel had a controversy with God, and he wanted to hear it, and he would plead with Israel. You know, if you go many times, God would plead with Israel, "Please come back. I love you. If you turn away, you're going to suffer consequences." "O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now that Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." So, you know, he reminds them of what he's done in the past. Now, you know, it's pretty far past from this point in time, but he's saying, "You remember, I brought you out of Egypt, out of bondage. And when he brought them out of Egypt and out of bondage and they were in the wilderness, how many times did they murmur and complain and blame God and say, you know, you brought us out here to die, or you brought us out here to do whatever? It's kind of amazing. Very amazing. And then, of course, Moab and Balaam and Beor, you know, that Balak, the king of Moab, and Balaam, and he kept saying, oh, Balaam, curse these people. And Balaam said, I can't curse them. If God doesn't curse them, I can't change God's mind. He wanted to because he wanted to get a payday. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Now, what was the big thing in the law? They would come before God with sacrifices, right? Calves of a year old. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? You know, thousands of sacrifices, anointings with oil, thousands. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know, and that's kind of what man tries to do, right? He tries to atone for his sin. He tries to do works. You know, it's prevalent. It's prevalent in human nature to earn, to do. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? So here's what God says is good: to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, and we can do those things, right? That's a good thing for us to do. To do justly, and justly would be, you know, righteously according to God's word, according, we're to live according to the standard of God's word. To love mercy, you know, and that means to love and help people and bless people, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, listen to God. Don't be so hard-hearted or try to figure out things on your own, but just be humble with God and allow him. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And so, you know, that's what it says. God says it is good to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. What a great thing. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter.
I can find that one.
You can find that one? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll finish up here. Finally, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, which means be kind. Be courteous. Those are all good things to be. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. And that's from Psalms also. Let him eschew evil and do good. Well, we saw some things that were good to do, right? The first thing was to be thankful. The second was to praise God and sing praises to him. And then to walk humbly and love mercy and all that. So there's lots to do good, and we've seen how God didn't leave it up to just us. Did I skip over something here?
Yes.
I sure did. Yeah, let's go back to 9. Okay, so be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it and follow it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Wow, what a great thing to know. God's eyes are always over us and his ears are always open to our prayers. You know, he always hears them. He never turns us off. You know, we may turn him off, but he doesn't turn us off. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And we saw all those different things that are good. And they all come from God. But and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Which means what? To set him apart, right? That's what sanctify means, set him apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know, there's a special place in your heart for God. It's not just where a lot of the other stupid, trivial stuff goes. You know, we accumulate a lot of
baggage.
Yeah, a lot of stupid, nonsensical, ridiculous knowledge and information. But we need to separate out and put a special place for God in our hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we didn't do anything to cleanse ourselves, did we? Jesus Christ did it all by his death and resurrection. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. How great is that? Amen.
Amen.
So God bless you all. Have a great day. Father God, we thank you for this day, for loving us and blessing us. What a great and loving God you are, and how you've always provided for us and taken care of us and watched over us. We thank you, Father, for the greatness of your word and how we can do good just by the simple things that you lay out for us, and that we can truly be thankful and we can praise you all the time in all we do, and we can walk with you and be just and love mercy, and we can be humble. We just thank you, Father, for just the opportunity it is to be your children and to serve you and love you and praise you. And we thank you in the great and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.